The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
When you turn on the evening news, do you see what you want to see or what you need to see? Welcome to Bread for the Journey, ordinary people doing extraordinary deeds with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. It seems like more often than not, the good news and people that are making it are buried into a two-minute feature piece near the end of the report. What about giving these people and this kind of news a full hour every week? Now, here's your host, Mariana Cacciatore.
Hello and welcome to Bread for the Journey Radio. I think you're going to love the show today. It's an interview with Dr. Mark Schillinger, whose work principally revolves around young men and what he calls an integrated method of family unity. He helps young men find their way through adolescence, engaging them to make intelligent decisions and become more responsible for their lives. And he helps parents learn to use their authority, influence, and wisdom to create respectful relationships with their sons. We'll bring him on in just a few minutes, but first I'd like to let you know who I am and what we do at Bread for the Journey. We're a 25-year-old nonprofit organization, and I serve as its executive director. We were founded in Santa Fe, New Mexico, by Wayne Muller, an author, therapist, and minister, who at the time was serving as a therapist and decided to take 5% of the money he received from his therapy clients and put it away. And he told his clients about that and said, this money represents the healing that's taking place in this room and a way to spread it out into the larger community. And so at the end of the year, when that, you know, the kitty was full, he invited some friends over for a spaghetti dinner and said, okay, this is the money I collected this year, and I want to give it away, but I don't want to do it alone. I'd want to find a few friends who'd like to do this with me. And as it turns out, those same friends are still serving on that board of directors 25 years later. So he began, they just began through word of mouth finding people in northern New Mexico who had a little project and needed a little support. Often they were startups of small projects done by people who, you know, sort of had this idea going for a while but wasn't really sure they could pull it off, weren't really experienced or solid nonprofit organizations. They were more like people who probably weren't likely going to receive grants from larger foundations. And basically, the message that we gave to them was, I believe in you. And here, you need $500 or you need $1,000. All of our grants are micro grants. We're part of the whole microeconomic community. And so, you know, they're $500, $1,000, usually no more than $3,000. Most grants are in the area of $1,500, $1,000. And we believe in you. Just give it away, no strings attached. And many of those organizations and those people created something today that are much larger organizations. And in the next 10 years, Wayne became well known as an author. He wrote a book called Legacy of the Heart, The Spiritual Advantages of a Painful Childhood. And he ended up on Oprah and, you know, the whole speaking circuit. And as he was out there telling stories about Bread for the Journey, people started approaching him saying, I'd like to start something like this in my community. How can I do that? And 10 years later, in 1998, he decided to expand it into a national organization with chapters. And that's when I came on board. That was 15 years ago. And now we have 26 chapters, all volunteer run, in 26 cities around the country. And people just come together who recognize that giving back is part of a life well lived, and so they throw a little money of their own into the kitty. The board of directors does. They reach out to family and friends and colleagues and invite them to throw a little bit of money into the kitty, and then they find people like I just described to you who are doing great things. We give in the areas of arts and education and children and youth and elder care and men and boys and a whole range of things, because we believe a community needs a wide range of things, and we like saying yes more than we like saying no, as long as there's money in the kitty. And our vision statement is to nurture the seed of generosity in every human heart. And often we don't even really use the word philanthropy when we're talking about our work. We're really just talking about generosity. We meet people over a cup of tea or at a meeting. We don't even want grant proposals. It's very relationship oriented. And if the fit is right, we give them a small grant. So fast forward to today. Why do we have a radio show? You know, we became clear a couple of years ago that what we wanted to do was get the word out more about Bread for the Journey. We wanted people to know about the work we were doing. And we thought maybe the best way to do that was to help our a larger group of people meet the kind of people we get to meet day in and day out because of the work we do. And so the radio show seemed like a way that we could go in depth with telling the story that you don't hear on the evening news, which we, from our perspective, see happening everywhere with millions of people. And so this is our little part that we're playing to balance the playing field of what gets on the media and to introduce you to some of the great people we get to meet. So on that note, I'm going to introduce you to Dr. Mark Schillinger. And I met Mark because a man named David Downing is on our board of directors here at Bread for the Journey of Marin County. And he told me about Mark. Mark's a chiropractor and a change leader in personal growth and family dynamics, teaching parents and their sons how to develop more caring and cooperative relationships with one another. And he honors the masculine wisdom of young men and teaches parents how to give their sons what they need so that, you know, everyone experiences more happiness and these young men can become more independent. He's the creator of a program called The Right Way. It's an integrated method of family unity that combines the sciences of adolescent brain development, parent bonding, personal growth, and stress management. It's a proven system that shows parents how to restore caring and cooperative relationships with their challenging preteen and teenage sons. And as a mentor, Mark offers personal guidance to young men, helping them find their way through adolescence and engaging them to make intelligent decisions and become more responsible for their lives. He has a new company, Mark has a new company called Challenging Teenage Sons. And it educates parents on how to use their personal and gender values to optimize their authority and influence to direct their sons to become more responsible and independent. So welcome, Mark. Thanks for coming on the show.
I'm honored to be here. Truly, thank you for having me.
Great. So people think of chiropractors as doctors who do back manipulations. How did you come to be doing this work with young men and families?
Well, let's see. It's quite a manipulated story, actually. It's a little contorted. Since I was a kid, I've always loved things that related to spirituality or natural health since I was a teenager. I went to chiropractic school because I knew that I wanted to do something meaningful, but I did not really believe in the whole drug surgery approach. When I was in chiropractic school, I got turned on to, you know, natural methods of healing, and it was just perfect for me. It was just really perfect for me. I came to Marin County after going to school in Portland, and I was already married. I had children, and by the time my son and my daughter were teenagers, I realized that as good as a chiropractor I might have been, it didn't do anything for my parenting skills. And so I was challenged to learn how to raise my son and my daughter, for that matter. And that's when I really applied my own personal growth method, this Right Way method, towards my own family.
So who were the people that most influenced you when you were younger that helped you sort of feel like you could develop some kind of methodology that created the Right Way program?
Well, as I said, when I was younger, I really had this hankering for spirituality. As a teenager, I always literally looked up into the sun or into the sky going, wherever you are, whoever you are, I'm going to find you. I need to know you. I need to know what is this reality. So I've always had that sort of sense of what is this and who am I?
Curiosity.
Spiritual curiosity. Curiosity has been a great virtue of mine. And so, I had my typical Jewish bar mitzvah. It wasn't that, earth-shaking spiritually. It was fun to make some hard, cold cash. That was cool. But it didn't really quite do it for me, although I had a great sense of awe from my religious training as in Hebrew school, like awe about God or divinity. But when I was 15, I started hanging out at a place called the Himalayan Institute, which is a yoga-based institute founded by Swami Rama, a very well-known yoga teacher back in the late 80s, 90s, and early 2000s before he passed away. And so I had a teacher as a teenager and a way of life that I was already developing. And then when I was 17 or 18, I met another teacher, Geshe Wangyal, a Tibetan Buddhist Lama, and started studying with one of his teachers. And that really, those two teachers really got me to see two key things. Number one, that I could be a householder, I could have a family. And number two, I could be enlightened. They were not exclusive. And as I started studying spirituality, and then I started studying with other teachers, I sort of made it a habit of whenever I could, growing up in New York, there was lots of spiritual teachers who would come through. And I would go study with them, see their public talks, and study their communities, and really got a sense as to who's got something to say, who doesn't, or who has something that's for me and who doesn't. And I realized very early on that there is no one right way to be enlightened. And as a doctor, became clear there's no one right way to be physically healthy or mentally clear.
That's a great insight to have when you're young.
Yeah, I was in my late teens, early 20s, and that freaked me out, but it also excited me because it was like, okay, there's going to be no cookie-cutter approach to spirituality. And then I realized later, certainly as an adult, there's going to be no cookie-cutter approach to raising a family or doing anything. So I was blessed to have mentors, not only spiritual guides, but my parents were great mentors, even my brothers and sister. I had uncles. I had, just in my neighborhood where I grew up, it was a different era than I think it is today where people are more isolated. Where I grew up, I could be out late at night, seemingly thinking about making trouble, and then I would run into somebody who would go, Mark, does your mother know where you are right now? like everybody knew everybody.
Right.
Everybody sort of was like a mentor. And then
good
I was
or bad.
What's that?
Good or bad.
Good or bad. I mean, now as a mature adult, I'd say it was good, but then I would be like, totally upset that I was going to get, I couldn't even do something, dangerous. But what really turned it around for me in terms of getting me really organized in the right direction was I discovered a place called Empire State College, and it was the first college without walls in America back in the early 70s. And so it was part of the State University of New York system where instead of going to classes, you had a mentor. And my mentor, literally to this day, when I think of him, I think of Gandalf, in Lord of the Rings. He had white hair and a white beard. And basically, he would ask me questions about what I'm into, and then he would get me into classes at Columbia, New School for Social Research, Hunter College. I could take classes with artists, painters, and so.
Oh my God! What a beautiful thing!
It was totally beautiful. So this mentor found me more mentors, and most of my college experience was studying with all these great teachers. So I grew up in a model of if I'm going to be happy, healthy, and holy, I need mentors.
Well, what a fortunate thing you had. And so that then, fast forward, when did you go to chiropractic school mm-hmm. in relationship to all this work that you were doing as a young man?
I left New York to go to college in upstate New York. I was about 18 or 19. I went away for a couple of years, came back to New York for a couple of years to study again. And then I moved to California, and I often say going from New York to California, where I'd never been before, was like going, from Earth to Pluto. It was a whole nother universe. Santa Cruz in the 70s was really out there, and it was perfect for an out there New Yorker like me. And so when I got to Santa Cruz, again, there's lots of spiritual teachers I study with. I really got clear, you know, that's where I got clear that I had to put together a way that was right for me. And so I started looking at the underlying principles that these religions had. My college studies were all in comparative religion, mostly emphasizing religions of the East. And I started looking at what are the virtues or the values that these religions have. And what I saw was that they basically have different virtues, and that was the religion. Religion just means to reconnect. You know, Jesus had the virtues of love and generosity. Buddhism had the virtues of compassion and joy. So for me, I was very clear that I had to find my virtues and my values, and most importantly, learn how to convert them into beliefs and behaviors, you know, so that I can embody my virtues and values. I had to really convert them into beliefs and behaviors. And that's when I saw, you know, where the rubber meets the road. It's one thing to be spiritual, but can I be practical? Can I be embodied? Can I be engaging with myself, my family, and the community and the world in a way where I was always true to myself? So Santa Cruz is where I started putting that together. Then I went off to chiropractic school in my, I think I was in my late 20s, after working in a natural foods bakery, a natural foods restaurant. I was in the natural food business mostly down there. And then in chiropractic school, I started seeing patients as a student, and I realized I wanted to treat more than just their body. I wanted to be treating their mind as well. And that's when I really was forced to put together this right way, which has as its premise that there is no one right way to be enlightened or physically healthy or mentally clear, but there is a way that's right for you. And so this method helps draw out of each person what is deeply, profoundly true for them spiritually, mentally, and physically. That's where I really started putting it together.
Well, this is beautiful. We're going to take a break in a minute. And when we come back, you know, what you just said, finding there's no right way, but there's a right way for you, presupposes this idea that you really work with each person individually and allow them to bring what's inside of them out to the surface rather than lay down a dogma that needs to be followed. So I'm very curious about this. And to our listening audience, stay with us. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the right way, these virtues and values, beliefs and behaviors, and how they apply to young men and their families. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Find out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Find out about new shows, featured guests, and what's up this week. Find us on Facebook by searching keyword Voice America.
The latest business information is made simple with the Voice America Business Network. The professionals in the business world bring you live talk radio shows featuring an array of business topics, strategies for building wealth, sales and marketing, stock trading, investing, and business technology. Voice America Business hosts are professionals in their fields and bring to the airwaves weekly business discussions that offer up-to-date information, advice, and education. The Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business talk.
Adoption changes a family forever, for the adopters as well as the adoptees. There are many adjustments that need to be made, from lifestyle to financial, and the personal rewards are unlimited. Listen every week for Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. We will examine in detail such topics as international and domestic adoption. We will talk with adoption professionals and hear stories about real families adopting. If you've been thinking about adoption or recently began the process, you'll want to tune in to be inspired every Saturday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific, on Voice America Variety.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com. You are tuned in to Bread for the Journey, ordinary people doing extraordinary deeds, with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. If you have a question or comment about the program, or have an idea for a person you would like featured on a future program, please send an email to bfjradio@gmail.com. That's bfjradio@gmail.com. And now, back to Bread for the Journey.
Welcome back, and we're here talking with Dr. Mark Schillinger, who is working with young men and families to create healthy relationships with oneself and with the family and with the community around them. So we were just talking about something that you developed called The Right Way, and you were saying that, you know, there's no right, ultimate right way for everybody, but there is a right way for each person individually. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what RIGHT stands for and how you developed this?
Right. R-I-G-H-T stands for five virtues. As I said before, I wanted to look at the underlying forces or principles that I felt helped people discover who they really are. So the premise of the right way, before I get into the five virtues of them, is essentially this, that each person is already enlightened.
Right.
It's already happening. There's nothing to search for or strive for. It's just a realization or a remembrance, and that we all need mentors, gurus, guides, teachers, educators to draw it out of us. So that's the premise, and I use the term enlightenment. My job is
enlightenment?
Yep.
That's cute.
Thank you. So I consider myself a personal grower, and my job is to grow people and let them discover what's really right for them, because each person is responsible for discovering or remembering who they are. Nobody can do it for them, but somebody can help them, or people can help them bring it out of them. So the first virtue and the most important one is respect, which I define as the value. So we define the word value as, well, how do you personally define your virtue? How do you personally define, not what the dictionary says, but how do you personally define your virtue? So the virtue of respect, I personally define with the value of esteeming with reverence. So esteeming with reverence simply means that all beings, all things, every and anything should be looked upon as totally equal. And since for me personally, I've been raised in a non-dual philosophy that there is no other, that ultimately we are all the same and only one, and we appear different, but we're always and only unified. Esteeming with reverence for me and in our school essentially says that if you can begin every relationship, including and most importantly the one with yourself, as a being worthy of esteem already, it's presumed, it's a priori, it's understood that you're already enlightened, and to treat each other person like that, then you don't need to seek respect. You already are worthy of self-respect, and so your anxiety goes down because you don't have to get confirmation from another that you're all right. And that's very important to me because when working with especially young people, I hear the word self-esteem a lot, that young people want self-esteem. But the dictionary definition of self-esteem means to get recognition from another as a way to sort of boost your confidence.
Right.
Self-respect means that you don't need confirmation from another, that you already know. It's innately, intelligently true.
So how is it when you have a kid who doesn't really believe that they're worth it? And how do you begin to work with them?
The way that I work with them, whether it's in our initiation event, the Young Men's Ultimate Weekend, privately, it's simply this. I ask them what they like to do.
Right. What do you love?
Right. What do you love? So I don't begin necessarily from like, hey, dude, what's your virtues, man?
Right.
You know? Or what do you really value? Because they'll say stuff like, I value my pot and I value my my friends. You know?
Right.
So I'll start from the bottom up. I'll go with the beliefs and the behaviors.
So what do you like to do?
Yeah, what do you like to do? And I'll go, listen, you can tell me because you're not going to offend me. I've probably done it, you know, dozens of times before my very self, and I'm not going to tell your parents. So the first thing is I create lots of confidentiality, and then I just say, what do you like to do? And so we start talking about it, and if I can relate to it in some sincere way where I've done it before, you know, I'll engage with them. And it's very impromptu. When I work with young men, it's not like therapy in any sense where, like, I'm over here and you're over there. I just begin with the premise of we're just males. I tell them I'm a little bit older, so I've made more mistakes. That's the only difference between me and you. And we start talking about what they like to do. I tell them what I like to do. And then I go, what is it about that, though? What's, like, what's behind that? Like, what are you thinking about? Or what are you feeling when you're smoking pot or hanging with your friends or playing sports or hanging out with your girlfriend or going camping with your dad? Like, what's really in your mind or in your heart? What do you think or feel? And they always begin with the, I don't know, you know? And so I've learned that I don't know really means one of two things for young men. It either means they really do know and they don't want to tell me, or they really don't know but they don't know how to ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they say, I don't know, I just basically go, well, I actually challenge that. I think you actually do know. Like, what are you thinking about, or what are you feeling when you're hanging out with your girlfriend? Are you nervous? Are you freaked out? Are you feeling confident? You know, so I get them to go to that next level of what they think and feel in general about things. And I let them know that I have no judgment. I'm not there to block their flow. It's just like, just speak freely. And it doesn't take long for most of them to just really get on a roll. And then once they're telling me what they're thinking and feeling about what they do, then I say, oh, yeah, yeah, that's kind of like being generous, huh? You like to hang with your friends, and when they're in need, you know, you like to help them, either give them money or lend them your cell phone when they need it, or you like to give them advice. So you're like generous that way, huh? And they'll go, well, I guess. And I go, well, that's what it's called. It's like, that's valuable. That's a virtue. Like, you're generous. Cool, man. That's cool. You know, so that's how I sort of get to their virtues and values, by working from the bottom up. And it's important for them to know that they actually have values and virtues, because they'll say, well, so it sounds like you're generous. Is that right? And they'll go, yeah. And I go, well, how does that, how would you define that? Or I'll say, so would you define generosity as like when you give things to other people? And they'll go, yeah. And I'll go, do you need to get things back? Like, if you give some money to somebody, do you lend it to them or do you give it to them freely? And I go, well, sometimes I'll give it freely, sometimes I'll lend it. And I go, okay, so generosity means to you that you'll give something and you'll have a clear arrangement as to whether or not you need it returned or not. And they'll go, yeah, that's right. And I go, great, so that's called a virtue. Generosity is a virtue. So cool, man, you got a virtue. And here's how you describe that. So I can get to know you better. I want to get to know you.
You help them begin to understand what they're doing through the lens of virtues and values, and they begin to understand themselves better as a result.
That is the whole thing, Marianne, is I want them to know themselves. The right way is all about you already are yourself. How can we discover, develop, and master who you are?
Do you teach them, by working with each other, do you teach them listening skills so that they learn how to hold space for one another?
Yeah, but that usually comes later, and I'll tell you why. I also have an event that I teach parents at, because we have the Young Men's Ultimate Weekend, which is this modern rite of passage initiation for the young men. But for the young men, we train our mentors, and when I mentor young men, I don't want to interrupt them. I let them go.
Right.
So I listen really well.
Right.
I don't make that a demand of them, and I teach the parents at the Ultimate Parenting Weekend or our other workshop called Parenting Your Challenging Teenage Son. We train the parents not to interrupt.
Right.
Just to listen.
Right.
And so when, yeah, exactly, just because that's one of our secrets is like, let them just get into their flow. Don't block their flow. Let them, they're young men. They have this biological, hormonal, basically rampage of hormones. You want to just let them go. And so in the beginning, we listen to them a lot, and we don't ask them to become good listeners. We want them to become good talkers. We want them to tell us how they're feeling.
Speak from their heart.
Speak from wherever.
Mm-hmm.
Truly. Mm-hmm. Viscerally, heartfully, mindfully.
Just speak.
Just speak.
Got it.
One of the secrets of getting them to speak is to engage them in intense physical activity. So, for example, we have an activity at our Young Men's Ultimate Weekend, this rite of passage event, where in the middle of the event, about halfway through, where they've come to learn to trust us, because all of our mentors are trained in this technology. We have a communication technique that I'll get back to that does train everybody in the family how not to interrupt. But at this Young Men's Ultimate Weekend, there's an event called Letting Go of the Boy. And the young men get a chance to really physically and intensely let go of all their past pain, hurt, anger, frustration, and disappointment. It occurs late on Saturday night with a big bonfire going, with drummers going, didgeridoos blasting, and the young men are told and taught how to get rid of their anger. And it's very intense, and it's really beautiful, because when they're done getting rid of all their intense anger, they're easy to talk to. They're easy to relate to. They don't interrupt.
Right.
They're taking it all in.
Right.
Or we'll ask them, like, how do you really feel about something? And they'll just speak so eloquently and so briefly.
Usually that night or in the morning?
Anytime after that moment.
Mm-hmm.
They change. We literally do before and after pictures at some of the weekends. They look different.
That's really interesting. Really great.
So after the young men grieve, or if I'm working with them privately and they haven't done a weekend experience, I will. One of their sessions will be, we will leave my office and we'll go into the woods somewhere because there's great woods just about 5 blocks from my office. And I will let them go for it. I will let them really get it out. And then after I work with them for a few sessions, after they've grieved, at some point I bring in the notion of the difference between acting like a boy and acting like a young man. Boys interrupt because the world is all about them. Young men listen because they already are confident in who they are. They have no need to offend or defend another, is the expression we use in the right way. That when you respect yourself, that when you know your virtues and values and you're on your path of practicing believing and behaving that way, then you have nobody to offend and nothing to defend. You're already a self-realized or actualized human being that's mm-hmm. going to make mistakes, welcome, but you have no need to interrupt because that's just another human being now doing what you needed to do when you were a boy.
So it's kind of a developmental stage that occurs on its own when you give them enough space to be who they are and take them through this process where they let go of the, maybe soften the edges and let go of some of that anger.
Absolutely. Since we're on the element or the virtue of respect, we're showing them respect for as long as it takes for them to trust us. So we're not interrupting. We're not making them right or wrong about anything. We're just gathering information and organizing it for them. And then at some point, we can teach them communication skills, which the same ones we teach the parents, which is step number one. If you're going to say something, say it cleanly and clearly and heartfully. And then when you're done, you don't repeat it 5 times. If you're the one who's listening, don't interrupt. Just simply breathe. And we teach young men and we teach parents meditation skills so that when their sons are screaming in their face, we just teach the parents how to relax. And so for both parents and young men, it's all about not interrupting. Can you just listen?
Right. So let's talk about the I in right, which is intelligence, yeah?
Intelligence, which we define as applying your intuition and your experience into wisdom. So for parents, they have lots of experience, and hopefully they still trust in their intuition. Young men don't have a lot of experience, but they have a lot of intuition. They have a lot of visceral gut feelings about things. So we let them know that their intuition is a great gift that they already have and not to worry so much when they don't know how to answer a challenge because they don't have the experience. So we let them know that parents or adults or mentors have more experience, that it's respectful and intelligent to go seek out their mentorship where they don't have experience, but not to use the person, the parents or the mentor's experience as what they should do, but just to take it as an information and see what resonates with their virtues and their values. Mm. So in this model, we let them know that you're already wise, just apply your experience and your intuition, and that'll reveal your wisdom versus having to go search or strive for it. Because young men, and I can go on for 10 hours about how young men suffer in society, but a lot of them don't do well in the traditional learning system where they have to sit still. You know, they need to be outdoors, they need to be more spatial to learn how to get their analytical and creative skills and juices flowing. So they often feel stupid, and they suffer from that, and then they act it out by withdrawing or being dominant or loud. So we let them know that we're not here to talk about being smart, it's about being intelligent, which they already are. Mm. The third virtue is grace and gallantry. So we use the virtue grace in our logo and when we're sort of promoting ourselves. But when we're working with males, men, and young men, we use the virtue gallantry and the virtue grace for women, but the same definition, which is engaging in heartful acts of courage and courtesy, meaning whatever you do, be heartful, be sincere. Sincere means without seams. There's no cracks. It's authentic. It's pure. So always be heartful. Be pure. And always engage in acts that are either courteous, where you're giving yourself away to benefit another, or being courageous, where you have to speak up or do something that's all about you and not the other. So always express yourself, but be authentic and be sincere. And the virtue of humor is probably the most important one in the right way, which is, you know, celebrating with gratitude, celebrating with amusement, celebrating with joy. It's all about the celebration. So that even in hard times, which young men experience, and so do parents, so do all humans, we always say that there's something that you can celebrate. There's always humor. and that especially men and young men, we need humor. It's a relief valve for us. When we get all pent up and stressed out, if we don't release it properly, it's going to cause damage to those around us. And humor is a great way to let go.
Right.
And then, and then the virtue true, which we define the value of living your life with integrity. Integrity means that you already know your virtues, your values, your beliefs, and your behaviors. And when they're all lined up, meaning when you're behaving that way, behaving, you know, according to your beliefs, values, and virtues, you are in integrity. You're true to yourself. And we let them know that in a lot of ways, that's as good as it's going to get in this world, to be true to yourself. And when we start teaching them how to be true to themselves personally, we also now have the opportunity to teach them or to educate them or expose them, really, to how to be true to themselves spiritually. We want them to have a relationship with the divine or with absolute reality or Jesus or Moses or Buddha. We don't care. We just want them to start to open up to a bigger reality that is them, includes them, but is also stronger, more powerful, because young men need to have a sense of humility and vulnerability.
Right.
That's how we do it through sweat lodges and other ceremonies.
Maybe that's what we'll open with in our next segment, how you do that humility. And then we're going to talk about families and working with families in the last segment. Thanks. So to our listening audience, please stay with us. And we've just been talking to Dr. Mark Schillinger about the right way, respect, intelligence, grace, humor, and truth. So we'll be back in just a few minutes to continue this interview. Stay with us.
Tune in to the Voice America Variety Channel on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Voice America Variety broadcasts a diverse array of topics, reaching a global community. Our experts come from all walks of life, and the topics they discuss are everything from current events, arts and entertainment, leadership, parenting, relationships, self-improvement, career advice, and a variety of other topics. Check us out today. You're sure to find something of interest. Voice America Variety. Talk on today's hot topics.
How do you know if you're living with an addict? If you think you know all the recognizable signs, you probably don't. If you're listening to and reading from the so-called experts, you probably don't. You need to hear from a parent, just like yourself, who has been there and can tell you what it's like firsthand. Please listen to Afflicted by Addiction with Bradley DeHaven. Our program is heard every Tuesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. It just might save your life or the life of someone you love.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are tuned in to Bread for the Journey, ordinary people doing extraordinary deeds, with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. If you have a question or comment about the program, or have an idea for a person you would like featured on a future program, please send an email to bfjradio@gmail.com. That's bfjradio@gmail.com. And now, back to Bread for the Journey.
Welcome back, and we're here and having a very rich and exciting conversation with Dr. Mark Schillinger. And, you know, Mark, you were talking in that last session about the young men's ultimate weekend. And before we begin talking about families and parents, I want to know if there's any last thing that you feel like you want to say about that weekend and wrapping it up.
Yeah. Thank you. That's something that's really important. The young men get a chance to hang around men. And as men, as I said before, we let them know that we just have made more mistakes, we have more experiences, and we've learned from them to get it right. But what I've observed about young men is that they, when they're hanging around adult men, they get to see how we do it. And we just want to model for them, because really parenting and mentoring is monkey see, monkey do. We just want to model for them what the best of male virtues are, including like perseverance, confidence, fearlessness, sensitivity, definitely humor, and integrity, you know, where you're being true to yourself, and ultimately discipline. Because young men need to learn that there's going to be a lot of things in life they don't want to do, but they're going to have to do. That's their biggest issue. So we don't sugarcoat for them. We let them know that in this lifetime, you know, all people, men and women, have to do things they don't love to do, but if they do the things that they need to do, they never have to drop doing the things that they love to do. Mm. So they can still play sports, be with their friends, they can still do everything in life they want to do, and they'll need to develop discipline. There's going to be no shortcut, because they're going to have to do things in life that may not be what they want to do, and that's what it means to be a young man or a man versus being a boy.
Right, got it. So whether or not they're ready to step into that, at least they know about it now. You've planted a really good seed.
Yes. And,
yeah, right, yeah.
They don't all graduate the weekend going, oh, my God, the light's turned on.
Right, right.
But many of them do. Many of them within a short time will, you know, tell us that, oh, my God, 6 months ago was amazing. I'm really getting it. But all of them get their eyes wide open to what's coming.
Right, got it, yeah. And they know where to go for help along the way. It sounds like they're making... Like you did, you had mentors all along the way that really supported and helped you, and they know that if they get stuck, there's some people, some adult people.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So you don't just have a commitment to these young men, you have a commitment to their families as well, and I know that you lead a similar weekend called the Ultimate Parenting Weekend. Why don't you tell us a little about that?
Thank you. The Ultimate Parenting Weekend is for the parents, because when the parents call our organization, you know, saying, oh, I want my son to go to the weekend, they'll often say, well, you know, he's a good kid, or he's a good boy, but he's got some issues. Well, two things that I tell the parents and I'm telling our listeners is that, number one, our program is for all young men. It's not like for troubled youth. I started it for my own son because I needed help being a better parent to him. So we let them know that this is for all young men because they all suffer the same way, thinking they're not smart enough or good enough. And then we let them know that it's not the young men, that it's the culture in the home that's leading to their behavior. So that includes the parents. And without any guilt, we just let them know that if they don't attend their own initiation into parenting, the young men may come back perfectly clear about what they need to do to get their life right, but it's unlikely. But if the parents get the same technology and they learn how to communicate with their sons and they use the RIGHT method, they have a much better chance of bonding with their sons, recreating healthy relationships, and then getting that mentorship relationship back in order. And at the weekend, one of the very first principles we teach is to stop treating them like they're boys.
It's hard for parents, right? They're beginning they've been raising them. That's how they see them. And to change that lens, it means changing their own behaviors.
Right. And because my specialties include stress management and personal growth, I am there when the parents begin to sob, especially the moms, when I'm lovingly telling them straight up, we want you to give all your motherly virtues, but if you don't stop mothering them, they're not going to stay as close to you as you want. You know, you have to stop treating them like we use this term, okay, sweetie. They're not your sweeties anymore. Mm. They're young men. If you stop giving them all the answers we tell the fathers, if you stop berating them, if you stop expecting them to be perfect, we tell the dads, and lighten up, they'll stay attached to you. Stop treating them like they're boys and that they're going to jump at everything you say. So, you know, it's emotionally tough, as you're saying, Mariana, for the parents to hear that, because they want to hold on to their kids, and that's beautiful. But what we're saying, you know, this universe is a paradox. And so we let them know that the way to keep their children forever, the ultimate attachment bonding, is to stop treating them like boys, treat them like the young men that they are, and learn how to help them discover, develop, and master their virtues, and they'll stay attached to you forever, because you've always been a great parent, meaning you've known who they are, and you've lovingly helped them stay true to who they are.
Mm-hmm.
At the weekend, the parenting weekend, we also let them know that it's not just society's issues, because I have a real ranting around how digital dominance and media mania is, you know, really crushing the minds and the spirit and the hormones and the natural primal urges of young men. I have a rant about how society and the educational system does not treat boys and young men properly. So I let the parents know that they're not the only reason why the young men are not doing well, if they're not, or if they're challenging, or if their sons are challenging them by being hyper-dominant or hyper-loud or withdrawn and quiet and shy. Whatever it is, we let them know that it's not all them. However, the only way the family is going to right itself is if they learn to lead it. So they get the right personal growth, spiritual development workshop, but as it applies towards family dynamics with their daughters. But since my specialty is young men and their sons are in the weekend, we gear towards, here's the biological truth of what's happening with your son. And most of them have never heard this, what's happening with their hormones, what's happening with their brain development. And so we teach them methods of meditation, communication, how to mentor, how to teach them the skills that they need to know. So we teach like actual time management skills in the seminar, since that's something most people on the planet need, let alone parents. So we tell them that until they learn to relax and get their life in order, until they know their virtues and values, it's going to be hard to raise another kid because you're not happy and healthy with your own self.
So do they need more than the weekend? Do you do follow-up work with the parents as well?
Yeah. What we do for the young men is after they graduate from the Young Men's Ultimate Weekend, at least certainly here in Marin County, you know, we have a young man's team that they can go on that meets weekly with one of our main members and volunteers, Richard Platt, who's a family therapist. So he runs a young men's team. For the parents, I do one-on-one parent coaching. Throughout the year, we do have other programs that are for mentors, teachers, coaches, and parents, therapists, that sort of thing. And as our, you know, nonprofit grows, then we'll have more and more services. Like this year, we're going to be opening up new services where we'll have small groups of parents coming to my office. So we're going to be doing group sessions. We're going to have more sessions for young men where we're going to have programs that are going to be taught by mentors in the community, men and women, where young men will come in small groups of 10 or less to learn how to get a job, to learn how to be gallant with young women, to learn how to save money, to learn how to be true to themselves, that kind of thing.
What if a parent wants to bring their son to you, but the son doesn't want to come? What advice would you give a parent like that?
Beautiful. Thank you. To me, ultimately, the son needs to come because the parents say so. And I know that's not politically correct to say anymore. That's good old-fashioned 1950s, 60s, maybe 70s parenting, because I said so. And I never tell parents to say that to their sons, because as soon as you say that to a modern kid, the last thing they'll do is what they say. But I tell the parent that ultimately, if you follow my directions and your context, the place from where you're going to come from is you're going to do what I say, eventually they will go. They will come to see me. And so I see the parents first, and privately I'm teaching them the whole method. Is like a seven-step method we have for ultimately what we call challenging the teenage son. Because ironically enough, it's not the son who, I mean, the son is challenging to the parents, but the way to get them attached or bonded to their parents is for the parents to know how to challenge their son to grow up. So privately, I teach them these seven steps over a course of about 12 sessions. And once they become masters at working with young men, by that time, the son usually wants to come in and see me because they want to learn how to get out of the house, and they see that their parents have dramatically changed their relationship with them, where it's one of respect now. And so young men are interested in meeting, who's the dude who changed my parents? They're actually like normal people now. So that's how they show up.
So you begin working with parents first, and then yes. The shift happens, and then kids want to come in.
That's how it usually works. There's a few kids who want to show up right away, but typically I want to work with the parents for at least 4 to 6 sessions, maybe more, so they can really get the framework of this method, and they practice it in their house, and then the young man's more, you know, receptive, and the parents are more likely to trust me because the methodology is working so smoothly.
Mm-hmm. You know, Time magazine ran a cover story a few weeks ago about this generation of young people being the me generation. Did you see that?
I didn't see it, but I definitely experienced it. I've been around thousands of young men, so I believe me, I see that firsthand.
Yeah, that was my question. Do you believe that to be true?
I definitely, in large part, believe that to be true, and here's why. I mean, this is just, I could go on all day about the reasons why children, both young men and young women, are, you know, sort of being slighted by society. But one of the reasons why is the digital dominance. Young men are way more prone to being addicted to digital devices, and it basically allows them to see their patients as like virtual beings. You know, when a parent walks in the room, there should be a certain presence that says, "Yo, I'm here, give me your attention." That's no longer happening because these young men have the ability to just totally tune them out, whether it's TV or their computer or their video games. And so it focuses their attention on just them and just their device. And the same thing is true for young men when they speak to their parents. You know, if they speak to their parents and they get their parents upset, most parents react versus respond, which simply means, you know, they're going to biologically, impulsively, instinctively react and start yelling and screaming. Well, young men don't trust that. And biologically, they have a deep sense of, I can't trust these people to lead me to the promised land of independence.
Right, because they don't respect them.
They don't respect them, exactly. And so they start taking care of themselves and make it more about themselves because they don't trust the mentors in their house.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds... Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. So those are two major reasons why I'd say, yes, it is partially and strongly true that it is a me generation.
And thank God for the work that you're doing, that hopefully that me turns into we sooner than... I just think we need to all be moving from a world where we're focused on ourselves to a world where we see the whole. And often it takes, you know, becoming a parent and, you know, being, I don't know, in your 30s and 40s before that happens, and to see programs happen where young people can understand who they are and as well as their place in a larger society earlier in life, the healthier we're all going to be.
Absolutely. I really appreciate the whole program. You've been really listening carefully and feeding back to me such key things. I appreciate that because I'm convinced that when all adults understand the challenges that young men and young women face and they know how to mentor them and really draw out of them what's true for them, then all children, you know, young men, young women, they're going to naturally want to, you know, be productive and exceed our expectations. And I know for young men, when they feel seen and heard, they want to be our heroes. They want to fulfill their biological obligation, which I think is to make the world safe and prosperous. So they need adults like yourself and others who really get the concepts. So
right.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, you're welcome so much. So if somebody who's listening to the show today wanted to get in touch with you, you know, we don't have time. We only have another minute, so I don't want to say too much, but I know that you're developing an online program called Challenging Teenage Sons that will allow you to work with people virtually all over the probably world.
Yes.
But if somebody listening to the show today wanted to be in touch with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Best way is to call my chiropractic office, which is also the center house for Young Men's Ultimate Weekend, as well as Challenging Teenage Sons. That number is 415-491-0959. And then as far as email, I would say emailing me directly would be fine, which is Mark, M-A-R-K, at markschillinger.com, S-C-H-I-L-L-I-N-G-E-R, Mark at markschillinger.com.
Well, thanks so much, Mark. I appreciate you taking the time to teach us what you did in the show today and for the contribution you're making to young men and whole families here in Marin County and soon, you know, across the globe.
That is our vision. We want to have initiation events for young women and young men all around the world.
Yeah, sounds great. So to our listening audience, I hope you enjoyed the show today. I sure did. Bread for the Journey is a nonprofit organization that could use your support if you find a place in your heart to make a financial contribution, or if you'd like to start a chapter of Bread for the Journey in your town. Please go to our website at breadforthejourney.org. I believe that if we all pitch in a little bit, we can change the world. And I close today, as I do every show, with this. May all beings be happy. May all beings be safe. May all beings be free.
We hope our program inspired you this week. Please join Mariana Cacciatore for another edition of Bread for the Journey next Saturday at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.